This is Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond. And now joining me in the studio is Connor Campbell from SpreadX. Well, Connor, off the back of the US, where the stock market is slightly weakening, how are the stock markets reacting?
Well, we've seen sort of the DAX and the FTSE weaken this week. You've sort of got, there's some more European focus on macro news at the moment. The biggest of all is the Italian referendum on Sunday. That's a huge event. I think Monday morning could be pretty hairy, depending on what vote prevails. It does look like the no vote is going to prevail, which sort of tips the Eurozone back into political chaos at a time where it really can't afford to be destabilised once again. You know, Mario Renzi could go if the no vote prevails. He sort of flip-flopped on whether he would or would not resign if that no vote prevails.
He's sort of intimated that he will do if it's a no vote, which means that the banks will be in trouble, won't they, in Italy?
Exactly. And you've seen the banking shares sort of, you know, across Europe this week a bit jittery. You know, you've seen the UK banking stocks especially. They've also got the stress test results on Wednesday, which might be also increasing a bit of volatility around those stocks. None of those banks are expected to fail, but I think it was RBS and Barclays might be the weakest of the lot. I can't remember the exact specifics of the stress test, but I know it was testing if oil went to $20 per barrel, which I think also...
OPEC on Wednesday, of course.
Exactly, OPEC on Wednesday. That's been the other thing, especially for the FTSE, dragging it lower, you know.
$20 a barrel, we can't be looking at that, surely. I
mean, No.
45 at the moment.
That was for the stress test in the worst-case scenario. That's what the Bank of England were testing the banks for. In terms of OPEC, you know, we've seen the stocks do their usual sort of naive excitement. I think especially Brent crude yesterday was sort of choppy all over the place, you know, sinking towards $46 per barrel, then rising back towards $48 per barrel by the end of the session, largely based on, I think, the Iraqi oil minister saying he's optimistic for a deal, which is, you know, something the markets have heard many, many, many times before. And I think the oil stocks themselves weren't necessarily as convinced. And you saw BP and Shell yesterday trickle back lower, and this morning you've seen the same thing again.
Okay, so let's move over to your slides that you brought today. So we're looking at the pound and the dollar. So what's surprising here?
Well, we've seen our clients have been a bit inconsistent with this the last couple of days. Yesterday, they seemed to be buying it around the 125 mark, but then this morning, they've gone back sort of quite aggressively selling around the 124 mark. I think the key question here is, has a US, you know, rate hike been fully priced in or not? If it hasn't, then the pound could be in for a bit of a dodgy week. You know, later today, you've got the second estimate of the third quarter US GDP figure. That's expected to be revised up to, I think, 3% of the annualised rate. That's a pretty healthy figure for the US. That's only going to help boost the dollar, you know, going into non-farm Friday at the end of the week. Not meant to be a great non-farm Friday. I think wage growth is expected to half month on month from 0.4% to 0.2%. The actual non-farm figure around 165, that's barely changed month on month, and the unemployment rate 4.9%, you know, where it's been stuck for a while. It doesn't really need to be that great a non-farm figure, however. I think at the last check, a rate hike's around 94% certain. I think the meeting's on the 13th and 14th of December, so we're only a couple of weeks away. The other interesting thing will be, if the dollar's priced it in, well, has the Dow Jones climb so high that as we head into the December Fed meeting in the coming weeks, will that begin to fall back below that 19,000 mark and back towards 18,000? It's been fairly resilient given that a rate hike is pretty locked on at the moment, so that might have more room to trickle back in the coming weeks.
Okay, so next slide. So the FTSE here.
As we were saying, OPEC meeting, you know, the FTSE's got some pretty hefty oil stocks. If that goes poorly tomorrow, BP and Shell are likely to drag it lower. You've also got the bank stress test. The banks might see sort of some kind of relief rally tomorrow if the results are fine, just because of the fact that they've fallen the last couple of days. However, that might become a bit muddled due to the Italian referendum on Sunday, so you might not see as much of a sort of a rebound as you would have if that referendum wasn't there on Sunday. You've also got the manufacturing PMI on Thursday. That's meant to tick a bit higher. The construction PMI meant to be a tick a bit lower. However, analyst estimates of those figures, haven't been particularly accurate since the Brexit, so those estimates can be taken with a pinch of salt, really. Our clients have been sort of heavily selling whenever it's crept towards 6,800. That's been a familiar trend for our clients in the last month or two, I guess. We've seen around the US election, we saw a brief, you know, spike towards them buying, but that interest sort of disappeared now. I think they are looking perhaps for the FTSE to struggle, at least in the coming weeks, especially this week with the potential Eurozone issues and the OPEC meeting on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay, next slide.
Merlin, they reported this morning. The big issue around Merlin, obviously now beyond the roller coaster crash, which does seem to have been dealt with now. You know, they paid the £5 million fine earlier in the year.
And the main, Sorry, they're moving out a lot into Turkey and that sort of places, which is why they're doing better at the moment.
Exactly, and they've also got, I think they're intending to expand Legoland, which has been regularly their biggest improved and, you know, best performing sector. That's, you know, I think they're intending to open one in Abu Dhabi and, you know, plenty
Such
of other places.
It's a strong brand name, isn't it?
Exactly. It's sort of got global recognition in the way some of their other brands. Perhaps, you know, Madame Tussauds is very big over here, ditto the London Dungeon, but in other countries I don't think it probably has the same name recognition. The main issue around Berlin at the moment was investors hoping that the weakened pound would see some kind of tourism boost. However, that hasn't really materialised. I think that's why we saw a negative reaction to its latest report this morning. It also said that Midway Attractions, which covers the Dungeon, the Dungeon brand, Two Swords, and, you know, the London Eye and various other eyes around Europe, was performing as stated in September. In September, like-for-likes in that division fell 0.4%. Interestingly, London's been one of the worst hit because of terror concerns around the globe has put off tourists coming to London, you know, perhaps understandably, and that's affected those key London brands. So investors weren't particularly impressed with Merlin's report this morning. Our clients have been selling around the 440, 435 mark. I think it did promise, you know, decent full-year growth, but that was sort of lost in the lack of tourism boost in the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the next slide.
RPC, on the surface, painfully dull stock. You know, it's a packaging stock. It's one of the biggest plastics packaging companies in Europe. However, as you can see by the chart, it's had a pretty fantastic year. At the moment, it's up around 17% since the start of the year. It's been, considering this year has also seen a drop off in M&A activity, especially in the UK, it's been sort of very, very busy. I think in March, it closed out a £469 million deal to buy the French bottle top maker. I think it's Global Closure Systems. A couple of months later, it announced it was going to buy British Polythene Industries for £269 million. Then in October, Reuters reported that the company was looking to buy its French rival, Albea. And then in November, it was also reported that it was looking at a $1 billion takeover of the US firm, WestRock. Mm-hmm. So it's a very busy stock. As you can see, investors are fully on board with the sort of aggressive attempt to sort of solidify its position in a fractured market. This time around, it's releasing, I think, its half-year figures. Its earnings per share is expected to jump 23% to 26p per share. Dividend is expected to be hiked 20% to 5.8p. You know, our clients are fully on board with this stock. They've been really aggressively buying it around that £10 mark. Even though it's at all-time highs, I think they're still looking for it to climb even higher.
Okay, do we have another slide or is that it?
No, this is the final stock. Berkeley Group, you know, it's a tough sector to be in this year, especially post-Brexit. As you can see, it's fallen, you know, 33.6% since the start of the year. A big chunk of that coming in the aftermath of the Brexit referendum. Back in September, it reported that reservations were down 20% year on year. That was partly to do with Brexit reticence, partly to do with higher stamp tax duties, and partly to do with those factors producing a contraction in the amount of sort of properties available. I think investors this week will be looking for the company to reassure them that, you know, things have picked up since then and that foreign investors are sort of flooding back into the market. I think they'll also be looking for an update on the London market. I think it was last week or the start of this week, it was reported that I think London home buyers pay 750% more stamp duty tax than other areas of the country. So, you know, that's a potentially worrying figure for a company that has quite a large London base. So I think our clients are looking for some kind of reassurance that the London market hasn't been too adversely hit since the Brexit. Our clients are, you know, they're still fairly interested in Berkeley. They're buying around the £24 mark. You know, you could argue that it's been one of the worst hit stocks since the Brexit. You know, it was the one stock to be booted out of the FTSE in the aftermath of the referendum result. But like I said, our clients are fairly happy buying around the £24, £25 mark.
Super. Connor, thank you so much. Connor Campbell there from SpreadX.